You're listening to the Tech Marketer Podcast, the podcast for marketers who strive to be continuously improving, who understand that our world is constantly changing and it's up to us to keep growing and learning. Because what works today probably won't work tomorrow. Hey, welcome to the Tech Marketer Podcast. This is a really exciting occasion because we have our first ever guest interview in studio. We're off to an awesome start as I'm joined by Greg Williamson from Concentrate. Welcome to the studio, Greg.
Thanks, Nicole. Great to be here.
Greg is a director at Concentrate and he has spent his career focused on helping tech companies commercialize their innovations. He's also had a ton of experience working on capital raising, lobbying, and corporate sponsorship projects. Greg's joined me today to talk about Concentrate's Tech Marketing Report, Market Measures. Tell us a little bit more about the report, Greg.
Sure. Well, Market Measures is about 7 years old. Comes out of our consulting practice with Concentrate, where we work with tech companies to help them basically increase their sales, both here and overseas. And we really wanted to understand best practice approaches to marketing by high-tech companies. So about 7 years ago, we started gathering that data, and we do that on an annual basis now. What we've added to that in the last 3 years is benchmarking the results against similar US studies.
Fantastic. I'm sure we're going to learn a lot from you today. Personally, my experience with market measures started when I joined Silverstripe a couple of years ago, and I read the 2014 report. I'd spent most of my career working on large-scale brands and had the luxury of mass media budgets. And of course, moving to a smaller tech company with an international focus, I knew I was going to have to completely change the way that I marketed. I wasn't going to be able to rely on big mass media outbound comms anymore. When I read the 2014 market measure reports, you introduced this idea of the lone wolf sales approach versus the team sales approach, and it really clicked with me, and it was the first time that I really got why content marketing and inbound comms were so important. So thank you so much, because you really started my career into tech on the right note there. Great. With that one. So why do you think it's so important that marketers benchmark themselves and understand where they sit against their peers?
Well, I think marketing these days is much more of a numbers game, and it's very transparent what we do and the results of it. So, you know, from that point of view, we have the data to compare ourselves, whereas probably a decade or more ago, it was a lot harder. Unless you had a big research budget, it was hard to get those numbers, but now we have them. So, you know, the logical thing is to check our progress and see how we're going. You know, the ultimate measure for any marketer is, are you hitting your sales numbers, and, you know, are you contributing to that? But you can, you know, achieve some real good continuous improvement throughout your year by checking your progress against what the best in the industry are doing, and then some of these overseas benchmarks as well.
So you mentioned that you'd introduced a few years ago the US benchmark. How did you decide that was the country that was the most important to compare ourselves to?
Couple of reasons. One is because we've observed in the decade we've been doing the consulting, quite a shift from more of a UK Europe focus to a real US export focus for the tech companies. So our guys are exporting into that market, so it's a logical thing that they need to be able to compete in a marketing sense there. The other element is, if you look at all the economic data, the US tech industry is bigger and grows faster than anywhere else in the world, so they are the best at growing tech businesses, so it makes sense to us. Yeah,
I mean, it certainly seems very logical to me. I know there's a lot of companies that are also focused on Europe, but we do tend to look to the US as not only the leaders in tech, but also they have, you know, very aggressive sales approaches and things like that. So I think if we can compete against the US companies, we've probably got a good shot of competing in other markets as well. So it's fantastic that's that you right. release all this data. I think we all know that content marketing works, but anecdotally I hear a lot that marketers find it very time consuming, and one of the challenges can be when your subject matter experts aren't based in your marketing team and you actually just can't tell them what to do. What would be your advice for this type of marketer?
It is hard. You have to, I mean, I'd accept that, and it's a thing we battle with clients all the time. because, you know, your effectiveness of your content strategy rests on quality, and really producing content that's useful to the customer. But there's a few ways to get over that. What one thing we find is there's a lot of legacy content in these technology companies. There's content that the thought leaders, the technical experts have produced for conferences or internal events, and you can leverage that a lot. We recently, we do a lot of work for a electronics exporter in Christchurch, and the biggest campaign we've run for them is based on a big bit of content that's like years old, but the principles are still very useful to their customer base, their market. So we really just packaged that up and sweated it. That's the thing is, you know, use all kinds of different ways of blogging about it and infographics and podcasts and around that core bit of content. So that's the key. I mean, what we find, even for the bigger companies, that they don't need a lot of content. They just need really solid pieces to build campaigns around on a, you know, at least a quarterly basis.
Yeah, I think that's an important point there about quality over quantity. And I love that idea of going back and finding this legacy content, because we all know we've got, you know, file folders full of this sort of stuff, but having someone look at it with a fresh perspective and kind of go, actually, that there could be really helpful for someone is important. And I really do enjoy seeing how Concentrate does this with market measures, actually, because, you know, it's a yearly report. It's not going to be something you bring out every month, because that's not the value to it. But you do manage to find interesting insights and repackage it in ways like blogs and infographics throughout the year that really give that life. So I think marketers could actually learn from just seeing what you guys are doing with your content as well. So it's good to see that you lead by example with that. So following on from this, what do you think is the right pace for content distribution, and how does this differ from maybe New Zealand to the US?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting with in our market measures study. You know, there's the fact that New Zealand companies are a long way behind just in their strategy of using indirect activity to generate leads. So we tend to be, the American benchmark stats is that, you know, 80% of their leads are coming from these indirect marketing channels. So, you know, a lot of it's content marketing. Whereas in New Zealand, we're almost the inverse. You know, we're doing a lot of work, you know, as you said before, through this lone wolf sales model where the poor old sales guy has to go out and do the cold calling, do the prospecting and drag people through the sales process. So it's really about trying to focus on upping your indirect activity as a first step. But then also the other comparison to the US is that the cadence is so much higher. You know, we're, say, on a content campaign and social media, they're working on a weekly basis, multiple messages per week. You know, we're working on a monthly basis, you know, in a traditional way. So, you know, in terms of driving traffic and leads, you know, you're going to be way behind from the start if you're if that's your sort of cadence. So there's definitely a need to up the game. The benchmark stats from, say, HubSpot, as a marketing automation provider, they'll show if you blog, I think it's 14 times a month as your minimum, your level of traffic and leads is, you know, it's three times higher than those less than that number. So yeah, it really delivers.
It's interesting too, because I think we've got, there's so much content out there, and it's sort of like this fire hose sometimes. So almost when you think about like Twitter and things, and how if you have to tweet all the time for someone to ever see, it's the same with content. You can't really rely on one big splash a month to get to people. You just kind of have to always be top of mind. So definitely that point around how far New Zealand companies are behind the US in terms of our use of indirect marketing is something that comes across so clearly in the market measures reports. Do you think there's going to be any big change that can happen that will get New Zealand companies to catch up in terms of their use of indirect?
I think it's a maturity thing. So over time, you know, there's more people coming into the industry and tech industry with the marketing skills and the knowledge and the attitude to push this. But there's other things like, you know, we track in our study the adoption of marketing automation tools. And that was, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, that was less than 5% of the respondents. It's got up to 30% now. And by using marketing automation tools, you know, can really accelerate your ability to, you know, drive your content. So I think that adoption, because Kiwis are great at adopting technology like that, the more we adopt those kind of tools, the more we're going to drive that, I think, over time.
I think that's actually a really important point, and I think it's something that marketers need to really grab hold of, which is bringing in software and tools that help us to show accountability within the organisation. Because, I mean, certainly when you say, hey, look, we need to do content marketing, it's great, people go, yeah, it sounds really good, but it sounds like a lot of work. And when you're talking to sales teams and asking them for information and stuff, the second you put marketing automation software in there, or you start to really track the leads that you're getting from content, suddenly the rest of the business buys into that idea. And we did the same here at Silverstripe, where we went from blogging once every 2 or 3 weeks to regularly 3 to 4 times a week. And the way we got buy-in for that was tracking the leads that we got that actually converted to sales. Also just small things like releasing who the most read bloggers were internally each month, just so that people kind of felt that sort of internal competition, be like, oh, I better put another blog post out. So, and also inviting guest posters to sort of lessen the load. So I think you're absolutely right. I think that accountability, that's a big part of us as marketers being able to get the whole business onto the content marketing story as well, because it's not just in marketing, the content. So another fact that really struck me was that New Zealand tech companies are still really relying on referrals to generate a lot of their leads. And you actually found that 55% of New Zealand companies were relying on referrals for lead generation, but it's only 7% in the US. Why do you think there is this big difference? Is it a cultural reason?
It's a maturity of the technology industry to some degree in New Zealand. As an industry, it's pretty immature. It's grown a lot in the last 10 years. So there's not necessarily the degree of strategic marketing capability. It's building pretty quick now. But if you look at some of our other traditional export industries, they're a lot more mature and a lot more focused on using marketing in a strategic way. Whereas the tech industry has been a bit immature in that it sort of grabbed marketing as a bit of a promotional tool to, you know, to maybe rah-rah and do a bit of design and branding and that kind of thing. Whereas it's starting to mature now into using it strategically to actually penetrate a market and generate demand and, you know, convert that for the sales team. I think, so over time, I think that'll grow, but it's a maturity thing. And it's something that we, you know, as a country, if we're really going to make the most of all the great technology we have, because I think in terms of generating it, we're fantastic. We've got some of the best minds in the world in a way, in some areas, but our ability to sell it doesn't match up yet, and that's what we need the maturity on, I think.
It's interesting that you raise that as a point about how we focus on product and we can build amazing things, but we always sort of bring the marketing side in as an afterthought. There was a study that I just noticed before this interview about how the US actually sort of seems to have the opposite effect. They've got a lot of VC funding and a lot of companies who are going out there and they're marketing at a really high level and they're actually underfunding on the product side and they're not delivering on the promises. I think if we can get the marketing side to really gel with New Zealand tech companies, we've already, like you said, we've got the smart mind, we've got the tech products, so it'll be kind of unstoppable once we can kind of figure out the other side of the equation and mature that way.
Yeah, we had this, we wrote a bit of content, it was a few years ago now, was we could almost lock up all the inventors and scientists and technologists, because we've got lots of products and ideas, let's just sell them to the world. But I think it's happening. I mean, if you look at the Silver Stripes, the Zeros, the Vens, the E-Roads, you know, they're actually quite sophisticated now, much different from the traditional tech approach. You know, they really understand the use of tools and the ability to drive content to drive demand and all those kind of things. So I think it's happening, but it just has to sort of flow through the industry over time. So.
And again, going back to your point about software and marketing software, you know, when you're in a tech-focused company and there's a high percentage of technical roles and developers and things, show them the numbers, show them why marketing makes a difference, and get them on that journey with you as well. Now, you also have this fantastic framework called the 7 Principles of Tech Marketing Success. And it covers focus, market understanding, acquisition, content marketing, clear messaging, channels, and drive. Now, I'll make sure that I link through to this on the show notes so that everyone can check it out, but I thought we could just delve into that in a little bit as well. Do you think that this framework applies equally to marketers outside of tech, or are there really differences between how we should market tech products to other products and services?
I think the principles are absolutely enduring. you know, the marketing principles of understanding your customer, focusing on them with a good message, all those kind of things are just absolute fundamentals in any marketing. I think the real difference that we've found is, say an industry like fast moving consumer goods, their products are simple, so their natural focus is on the customer. They're all about trying to understand the customer and deliver something to them. Whereas in the technology sector, the products are quite complex. So there's often, it's a lot more effort to translate that complexity for the customer. So the principles are the same, but the emphasis has to be different sometimes. And the tech companies have to work a lot harder to really, uncover those value propositions and, then build a program behind those in terms of promoting it. Whereas, if you're selling some food or some packaged goods, focus on the brand and create the experience for the customer, and that's all you have to worry about in a way.
Yeah, I actually totally agree with that. I've worked in consumer electronics previous to this, and the company was, and the brand was very, very good at focus, and that was the thing that I noticed when I moved across to Silverstripe, that the first principle, sharpness or focus that you talk about, is by far the hardest, but also the most critical to success, because everything kind of builds from that. And in tech, you don't just have sort of a defined market. You can make your software tomorrow have a feature that will suddenly unlock a whole other market, or you can sell completely online and you can be in every country in the world. And there's that kind of excitement of all these opportunities that means that in tech, sometimes you have to say no to a lot of really good ideas to be able to find that focus. What steps do you advise tech companies take in order to unlock that focus and really narrow down to what they should be the most focused on?
Hmm. Yeah, fantastic question. I mean, of all the stuff we do, this is the absolute key. This makes all the difference to companies. You can have all the fancy marketing automation and content marketing and all the brilliant ideas, but it's market focus that really makes the difference. And as our company, we've worked with literally hundreds of tech companies now, and it's the ones that have the courage to focus when the temptation, as you say, is to, we could sell this to anybody. This is a platform, everybody would love it. And of course they would, but if you're trying to market to everyone, you actually market to no one. So by getting that focus, you can then get your intensity in your marketing, because you can focus on a set amount of people and really drive a program to them. The steps to get there, it can be difficult because you need to have a good process to take the leadership of your company through, so they see it as a really strategic thing. But it's about understanding the customer problems that you solve. So really understanding that, what are the key customer problems, and then working out what market segments have that problem to the greatest degree. And then the third bit is really understanding your ability to execute in those markets. So an example would be, our first customer a decade ago was SLI Systems, which is a provider of site search, a listed company on the NZX now. And they provide a software as a service site search capability. So big sites use it as an outsourced service. And they were selling that to government departments, banks, airlines, e-commerce, all around the world. And they were going along okay, but they really wanted to ramp up their growth. And so they went from this sort of global focus on big companies to only focusing on e-commerce companies in the USA, because an e-commerce company is absolutely focused on the site experience of their customers.
Yeah, definitely.
And then on an hourly basis, they're measuring what the conversion rates are, so they're willing to invest in optimizing that. Whereas the UK Treasury, they're sort of, it's good if people can find stuff on their site, but, is it really worth paying a lot of extra for? So SLI basically turned off all that other activity and just focused on these 2,500 companies. And that's what spurred their growth. So it's sort of counterintuitive. Narrow everything down, but the intensity is what gets you to grow.
And I mean, that's really interesting, because I'm sure internally that would have been, like you said, a really brave / risky move of, hey, there's all this, we've got these big companies, we've got banking and all this, coming to us. Why wouldn't we just keep doing that? But yeah, like you said, having that focus has allowed them to get to that next level. And it's certainly reflected. I went to a talk last year with Optimizely, and they were talking about the exact same thing about, well, we could sell to all these big companies online, but actually e-commerce, that's the one industry where if they don't optimize every single point, they're going to lose money. So they're the ones that are going to pay for this, and they're going to really understand it. So that's cool. With SLI, have they now moved on to other markets beyond the US, or did they go to other verticals after this decision?
Yeah, a couple of things happened, and we've seen this happen a few times. So they got their momentum going in that segment. But the first development was they started to add more services to that segment, because they actually get to understand all the issues a lot better because they're focusing. Instead of having 50 different segments, they got one, so they really know it. So they've really focused on that and added services and products in there. But once they have good momentum, then they've gone out again geographically, but still in e-commerce.
Makes
they've gone to South America and Europe, because they understand the problems of an e-commerce company. They can go into a company and say, yep, we know you're probably having problems with this and this and this. Well, you know, if we put these in, that'll address that.
And I just love that you keep bringing back focus, not to focus on your own goals or your own company strategy, but focus on your customers and what it is that you're really solving, because that's where you get the best sales messages, the best marketing, and the best product development.
Yep.
So how do you advise tech marketers who, they understand that, they get this, they really want to have focus within their company? How do they take that vision internally? Perhaps if you've got a sales team, they're like, no, I've got all these opportunities in different industries. I want to go and talk to all of them. How do you get them to convince other teams and other people in the company to join on to this?
Yeah, it's a bit of a process, and it's not something that you can win overnight. So one thing is to have a model, as I was talking about before. So going through an analytical model to say, we've done the research, we understand the customer need, we understand where that is the most intense, and we understand that we've got this ability to execute best. So, you know, particularly leadership understand that, and they, you know, they like a process with evidence. That's really important. And it's not something that marketers have traditionally been good at, is building those, you know, cases around a process. But leadership, and particularly technical people, our leaders with a technical background, really appreciate the process. Then the other thing is to not necessarily say to people, oh right, we have to just turn off everything and focus on this. Is let's say, well, let's just drive our campaigns around this focus area, and let's measure it and let's see how it performs, and you know, if that all goes well, then we'll put a bit more effort into it and just try to build momentum behind it. Because the sales guys, they have to get their numbers next week and the week after.
Totally.
So they don't want to just switch stuff off and, you know, be left high and dry. But if they see a winner happening, and they see that people that are getting in behind this focus are selling more quicker, they'll get into it. Because it's ultimately, this stuff's about sales efficiency. It's about, you know, cutting down that time to conversion, where you're generating a lead that's nice and warm. Sales guy can go in and convert it rather than them having to drag it through a long process.
So yeah.
Once you get that momentum, they really get on board, because they don't like cold calling either. They like to sign the deals.
Yeah, have those leads handed to them on a plate, ready to jump into the sale. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that we've got to show these strategies and these plans and be kind of a bit more open about the processes. And it's just, we're marketers, you know, we're very used to talking to our audiences and to our customers, and sometimes we have to apply that approach internally. And if we're talking to a lot of technical leaders in the organization, they're going to be driven by numbers, they're going to want to see results. And what you just described is basically putting in place a proof of concept or a pilot program, which, you know, software engineers, that background, they're very comfortable with. So if you can start sort of talking their lingo and making them comfortable with the transition and giving them a lot of evidence, I think that really helps get people along the journey. So I think you really hit the nail on the head with that one. So thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom and advice, Greg. I think everyone listening will have learnt a lot. I certainly have. If marketers want to check out the Market Measures report for themselves, which absolutely 100% advise you to do this tomorrow, download it, how do they get a copy?
Sure, they just need to go to marketmeasures.co.nz, so Market Measures, all one word, and download the latest report there. And listeners to this show can use the code TM15, and that'll give them a free copy. Normally, there's a payment to secure it, but if you use that, you'll get a free copy, and you can then subscribe to updates and you know, see the next version as it comes out later this year.
Awesome, that's amazing. Thank you so much for giving us a copy of that for free, Greg. Everyone, like I said at the start of the show, totally changed the way that I marketed tech and understood how New Zealand companies compare to US ones. Also, check out the Concentrate blog. It's a really good regular reminder of what you should be focused on and also how you can use your own content in different ways and forms. I'm going to make sure that all the links and information from the show is over on the website, so you can check that out at www.techmarketer.org. Thank you for listening to the Tech Marketer podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure to leave a review or some feedback. I'd love to hear what you thought about it. I hope you've learned something new today. Catch you all next week.